send it. An angel of the Lord declared that it would be. He said, don't stand here grieving for the one that you see leaving. In like manner he's coming back for you and me. I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe that a trumpet's gonna sound so loud. One day it'll wake the dead.
In the twinkling of an eye, he'll split the eastern sky.
And I believe he's coming back like he said.
I believe the time is nearing. We'll soon see his appearing. Well, this could be the hour, and this could be the day when the saints from every nation gonna lose gravitation in the middle of the air, be called away.
Hello everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Saturday night show, The Outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we'll be on for 2 hours, and then Sunday night, I'll be on again with Dave Hauser with the prophetic update. But tonight we're going to look at Charles Finney, the great evangelist Charles Finney, and then if we still have time, we'll go into the third, considered the third great awakening, the Great Revival of 1857. It's also called the Fulton Street Revival. And it was a humdinger. It was a powerful, powerful, powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit that shook America for the Lord right to its core. So these Saturday night's a favorite of mine. And I did preach, well, hold on. Let me see who's here with me. We have an unknown known caller. I can tell by the beautiful colors. This is Gigi and Randy.
It is, and we're really looking forward to this. And we also want to hear what happened.
Oh, it was really something that happened. And, you've got a nice orange background with a pretty canary yellow and then a black letters in the middle. Very, very nice.
It must be because of Sharon. Maybe she's in control now.
And then we have Sister Kathy here. Hello, Sister Kathy.
Good evening, Chaplain and everybody. God bless.
Okay. And then we have Sister Sharon.
Yes. Hi, Chaplain John. I'm glad to be here. And boy, my voice went scratchy all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I would just so one quick praise thing is Eve's husband Henry has been suffering with kidney stones. We prayed and prayed and prayed for him a lot last night. And you just told me that he was pain free today.
Oh, good. That's nice. So,
yeah.
That's nice.
So
yeah.
We're happy about that. The stone's still there, of course, but he was not in pain today.
Okay, and then we have Sister Rita here.
Hello, Chaplain John.
Yes.
And hello to everyone else.
You got quite a background noise there, Sister Rita. So.
Oh, can you hear Scooter?
I don't know. I don't know what I hear, but that's all right. That's all right. So I want to give everybody an update on what happened. So, as usual, the show was really late. The presentation was late. What I didn't realize is this was really churches. There weren't many Muslims there. In fact, Jamil said there was about 80 Muslims, but there was somewhere over 1,000. I think there was 50 churches or more, and there was like 1,000 people from the churches. So, and I didn't know that. I thought it was all Muslims or mainly Muslims. But anyways, at the end, it got real exciting at the end. At the end with the call, 400 people from the churches came to the Lord. That was amazing to me anyways. Yeah, 400. And then between 70, according to Jamil, he said all the Muslims came to the Lord. So
that
right
is exciting.
Now
exciting.
Listen what happened. So right as I finished praying for healing the brokenhearted and those that are oppressed of the devil, Jamil says to me, we got to stop. The police are here. They're closing us down. So the police came in and they said all the Muslims had to get out immediately, that they shouldn't be hearing things like this. And then they wanted a bribe from Jamil. And if he didn't pay a bribe, they were going to arrest him.
Did he pay a bribe?
Yeah. Yeah, he paid a bribe. That's a business expense, Sister Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's odd.
Yeah. So that's how it ended. And I couldn't see where they had the cameras set up for me to see. It was kind of low, so when people stood up, I couldn't see much. And but I did see the pastors coming and taking big handfuls of the brochures, and we had 5,000 brochures, and not one was left. They took every single one of them.
My goodness.
So the pastors were very happy. Now the churches are strengthened because so many people that were nominal Christians now are anchored with the Lord. So, and I did, add something to Looking for the Blessed Hope, and I had to do, and I, as I was speaking, I mean, it just, the Lord just downloaded into my mind, and Jamil loved it. The people really responded to it. When I talked about the Lord descending from heaven with a shout and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, the Lord took me right over to John 11 and when he raised Lazarus from the dead. So I explained it to them. And then I said the Lord had them roll back the stone and he was standing there in front of the tomb. And he said, and I raised my voice. I said, Lazarus, come forth. And I said, he came out of the grave there, resurrected. I said, that's what's going to happen to every one of us that passes on to go to be with the Lord. When he shouts, there's going to be a bodily resurrection. Jamil said he really loved it. He said, that was really good. He said, Jamil, I didn't plan that. Right when I got to that point, there it was right in my mind. He said, the people loved it. So I'm going to incorporate that into when I preach on the Blessed Hope about the Lord descending from heaven with a shout and then how he stood before the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. And out came Lazarus.
Awesome.
Awesome, awesome, and awesome.
So that went really, really good, except, you know, we had a little problem with the police, but it happened right at a key junction, so it worked out. You know, it worked out. And then we had a good time with Pastor Ernie Friday night. It went really, really well. And how did Friday night go here with the prayer night?
We had a good prayer night. And like I said, that we all prayed for his husband and different things like that. That and I think everybody really enjoyed themselves being able to really pour their hearts out for Eve's husband.
Good. Good. Okay. So Friday night, you were pleased with the prayer time Friday night?
Yes.
Good. All right. And then this morning I spoke at, well, I didn't speak. The equivalent to Sunday school, I taught on healing the brokenhearted. So this is getting really big now, because I didn't know they've been recording me, which I don't care. I mean, I don't really care if they're recording me or not, but they were recording me and then they're transcribing it and they're using that like study notes. And they were pleading with me to put it in a teaching booklet or teaching manual. So I'd love to do it, but I don't know about the time. I mean, my time is really getting filled up, you know. So I wouldn't promise them anything, but I said, let's all of us sit down and talk this over and see what we can do. So there's a woman there who is a pediatrician, a doctor. She's a pediatrician, and she's taken a real interest in it. She said, I'm like you. She said, I'm swamped with time, but I want to see what I can do putting this together from teaching manuals. I said, if you're going to take that step, I said, I'll work with you on it, and we'll work together to put this together. So everybody was really happy. I mean, they really want this in a manual, teaching manual. So what do you think, Sister Kathy?
I think that's awesome. Awesome, awesome. But seems like maybe somebody there ought to be able to do it with the notes, you know, transcribed.
Well, yeah, I would be like the final.
You'd get the cut, and, you know, edit. But if they do the Duke share of it and then just let you agree and.
Yeah, we'll see. But they were really, 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 that was 2:30 till I got home.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time there. They said, keep going. So next week will be part two, the mind. So it went really, really good. Now, tomorrow morning, I'll be getting up and preaching in Kenya. And then when I finish there, I go to the Word of Life Church, and I'm preaching on Palm Sunday.
Mm.
So what I did was, let me see if I have that here. Yeah, I do. I do. Hang on here for a second. Let me see. I guess I can do it. Here, I'll show you. That's the my heading for what I'm preaching on tomorrow, Palm Sunday and the Palm Tree. So I figure that anyone that's been around with the Lord for a while, they hear a pretty standard Palm Sunday sermon. But I'm going to go into the palm tree.
Oh, yeah. That is a fascinating study.
Yeah. So, and I don't know, I did something like this a while back. Do you remember by any chance? Because
I remember roughly, you know, that it was, you were enlightened greatly on it.
There was a brochure that I had years and years ago, The Righteous Shall Flourish Like a Palm Tree. So anyways, I want to show you. Now, here's my pictures of the palm trees the Bible talks about. Let me know when you can see it. It's a palm tree grove.
Well, I see the palm trees, Palm Sunday and palm tree, but no picture yet. But Psalm 92:12.
Okay, and then I have this, a majestic palm tree. I have three pictures here. And then this one here is the fruit of the palm tree. So I found all these unique things. The palm tree is completely unique in the tree world. The palm trees live to be like 120 years old. They'll give fruit for 60, 80, sometimes 100 years. A real producing palm tree will have 300 pounds of palms. 300 pounds.
All right, so there's the date palm tree, and what are the other?
No, they're all date palm trees.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, see, that one there is magnificent looking. It's one palm tree by itself.
Well, we still got the forest, but that is beautiful with the worm's eye view.
Yeah, then here is the, where is?
Oh, yeah. Now, how do you eat the dates? Is it like a date from?
Yeah, it's just a fruit. You just.
I mean, is that the only place dates come from? Is the date palm tree?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Well,
yeah.
How about that? That is major producing.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So, I'll get into this maybe during the week when I finish this, but all sorts of, now get a load of this. You have to have a male and a female palm tree,
right.
And only the female produces fruit. How do you like that?
I think that's just the way it is in real life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chaplain, were you the person who taught about the palm trees all through the buildings and stuff where they had the carved into the walls and stuff?
Well, I did teach about that, about Solomon's temple.
Yeah.
And the palm tree was in the Holy of Holies. And then in the Messiah's temple, the Lord's temple, when he returns, there's 10, the palm trees are all over the place. The Lord loves palm trees.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I just remember hearing that teaching and stuff. And it's a marvelous teaching.
Well, that's what I'm going to teach tomorrow. It's going to be a different take on it. And we call it Palm Sunday. So let's get a handle on why palms are significant in the Bible. Okay. If Charles is out there in cyberspace, Charles, would you come here and land in Uber conference, please? Now, how's that? Huh? He's floating.
That's a nice invitation.
He's floating in cyberspace, so you're requested here on Earth.
Okay.
All right. So let's get going about tonight. Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you for the history of the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit that we have had, Lord, in our nation. And Charles Finney in particular, Lord, was a real revivalist. I mean, we've had great evangelists that win a lot of souls to you. But when Charles Finney preached, I mean, whole regions would come to you, whole counties, cities, Lord, and there would be drastic change in the condition when he left, Lord, for you. So he's an incredible, he's unique, Lord. Finney is really unique. So thank you. Thank you for him, Lord. Thank you for the history we have of him. And if possible, we'll also touch the third great awakening, Lord. Whatever we do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant. that you made with us in Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. The reason I want Brother Charles is, you remember I was telling you about the Japanese clock I had from 1886?
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at it right here. Yeah. Show Charles. Now, when I moved here, that clock has not moved. It's in the same spot. In Pennsylvania, it was in the same spot in the bedroom. And when I lived in New York, it never moves. I move someplace, I take that clock out of the box, and I always put it in the bedroom up on a shelf. So it's only been moved probably. I don't even take it off the dust it or anything. So it's probably been moved, I don't know, 10 times in the last 40, 50 years.
Sharon, are you seeing that? All I see is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit icon.
That's all I have showing right now. But now,
oh, you don't have the clock showing?
No. I'll wait till after.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell Brother Charles that I have the clock here. All right, the great evangelist Charles Finney. Well, let's go with that. The outpouring in American history, because certainly Finney's part of it. And there's those three psalms that fit the outpourings of the Holy Spirit here. Psalm 77:11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And what we're doing in this series of teaching, we're moving time forward, and instead of maybe focusing on the Exodus and like what happened in Joshua and Judges and all of that, and even thinking about the time of the Lord, all the great mighty miracles he did, we've moved it closer, starting like in the 1700s with the first great outpouring, the second great outpouring, and things that have been done within our history. Because if the Lord did it in the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, he can do it now. It's a matter of persistent faith. Psalm 105:5. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth, the things that he has spoken. It's all, whatever he has spoken is recorded in the Word of God. Psalm 143:5. I remember the days of old. Remember the works of Charles Finney. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And muse there is another level beyond meditation. It's like getting totally absorbed in what you're thinking on. You don't even know the time of the day or anything like that. So, and you know, the opposite of muse is amusement. I meant to share that with you a while ago. So muse is intense meditation, and amusement means there's no depth to it. It's just like getting on an amusement park ride, and there it is. So there's no depth to it, but muse is as deep as you can get. Okay, there's a picture of Finney. And every picture that I've seen of him is very intense. Now, I don't know if he was like that all the time, or you know, some people kind of change their appearance when they're getting their picture taken. But he always had a very, very intense look about him. There's Finney when he was younger. And the gravestone on the right is of, his name is Daniel Nash, N-A-S-H. But he was, his nickname was Father Nash. And I don't know where he got that from. Maybe he was like a fatherly type. But his name was Father Nash, real name is Daniel. And it says here, laborer with Finney, mighty in prayer. So that's what he's known for. Finney would do nothing without Father Nash going ahead of him. And Finney would wait until Father Nash would contact Finney and say, his expression was, the heavens are softened, come right away. And Finney would leave and go to the area and conduct his great revivals. And Father Nash never really got involved in the revivals, other than behind the scene, he would recruit many prayer warriors. And while Finney's revivals were going on, they were praying hours on at a time. So the secret, so to speak, of Finney's power was Father, I'm sure Finney was praying himself, but Father Nash, and he would recruit prayer warriors, and they were mighty in prayer. For Finney to soften it up, for Finney to come, and then when he was preaching, when he was conducting the great revivals, they were in the background praying, Father Nash. Finney conducted his revivals for about 10 years. I forgot about that because he, for whatever reason, he stopped the revivals, and then he became pastor of a church of all places, New York City, and his preaching was leading so many people to the Lord, and it was so powerful that the New York Times was actually printing his sermons, and they would give account, like, I don't know exactly how they would say it, but what they would do is, like, 75 people responded to Finney's preaching, 100 people responded, things like that. Now, can you imagine today the New York Times doing that? But it did it back in the 1930s. The main doctrine back then was Calvinism. He rejected the Calvinist doctrine of predestination, adopted ideas of free will and salvation to all, really popularized the new form of revival. So what happened was, in Finney's day, when he first came to the Lord, Calvinism was the main doctrine, and they believed that you didn't really preach salvation because God would save them. You know, it's weird the way to think of it, but God would save the people in his sovereign will. And Finney rejected that. And when he gave an altar call, he is like, I don't know if this is true or not, but I can only report what I've read, heard, that he was the one that, like, originated the altar call in churches. So I don't know, what did MacReady do, and like Jonathan Edwards? I don't know, but he's credited with, or maybe it was in with the Calvinists, but that, and they threw him out. He was thrown out of the denomination there because he gave an altar call, and he believed that if you preach the gospel, like John 3:16, people would respond, and that was against the doctrine back then. So his new form of revival within the churches was an altar call, come forward and receive Christ as your Savior. So that's all I have about him, but let me go back into things that he did. He had this, when he came to the Lord, he was in a Bible study as an unbeliever, and he noticed that prayers weren't being answered, and people were just going through the motions, and he was thinking, you know, why would I pray here, because the prayers are never answered? But his job, he was an attorney. And so much of the law back then was connected in the Bible. So he felt that he should start reading the Bible, even though he didn't believe, he should start reading it because of the law that he was involved in, you know, civil law. So he did. And as he started to read the Bible, he started to really believe. So on his own, he confessed Christ as his Savior. And then right around the time that he confessed Christ as his Savior, he had a real, real, real experience with the Lord. And the way we know it was the fruit of it. So he's virtually a brand new believer, something like Apostle Paul. And the Lord told him about preaching, and he was going to preach and all this. But the presence of the Lord, when he writes about it, he actually kind of was more like the Apostle Paul on the island of Patmos there in Revelation 1. He was on his knees, on his laying prostrate on the ground. And he said the Lord was there. The Lord was there. And even as a new believer, he came out of it. So you got to go by the fruit of it. He came out with tremendous power. I mean, absolutely incredible power in preaching. So he was an evangelist, but he was more than that. You know, he was a revivalist. So D.L. Moody was a great evangelist, won billion or millions. Billy Sunday was a great evangelist. You know, and others, you could say Billy Graham and others. But when Finney went into some place to preach, it was like massive revival. The sin stopped. There are reports of him preaching in New York where for months and months afterwards, there was no crime. That's amazing. Rochester is the best example of it. Rochester, New York. People made restitution from things they stole and acts that they did. No, they made restitution. And I didn't understand his big, he would close down the opera houses with his preaching. And I didn't quite understand why that was a big deal. And I found out that in his day, the opera houses was the center of prostitution. So for the opera houses to close was a real big deal. Opera and prostitution, I don't know how that goes together, but it did back in his days. So he had this, it was like the Spirit, the Holy Spirit would move over the area, the city he was preaching in, or the town or the county, like that, and tremendous conviction of sin. Tremendous. Just the people in huge numbers would come to Christ through him like that. There was a report of a sheriff in the next county from where Finney was, and he heard all this stuff about Finney and what was going on, and no crime, and all these people coming to Christ. And this sheriff did not know the Lord. So he went to that county to pick up a prisoner where Finney was. They had arrested someone that they were charging in the other county. So he said, as soon as he crossed the line into what Finney was, there was a river and a bridge. As soon as he got on the other side, this dread came over. This terrible dread came over him. And he said he couldn't shake it. And then he got to the prison, and they got the prisoner and took him back there. As soon as they crossed the bridge to his county, the dread left. And said sometime later, Finney moved from the county he was preaching in to the sheriff's county. And he said within days of Finney coming to his county, he ran right up and like was the first in line to receive Christ. There was like a dread. That was when the Holy Spirit has come, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So that the idea of sin, righteousness, and judgment permeated wherever Finney went. That's amazing. That's so, when Finney wrote about that encounter he had with the Lord, it was real, because the fruit shows that it was real. He was not, I'm going to say, an average evangelist. He wasn't an evangelist like D.L. Moody, who was a great evangelist. Finney was a revivalist, different. Moody could win all sorts of souls, but that didn't mean that the whole area he was in was going to have a massive conversion and sin was going to like disappear and all that. Finney was unique. He really was unique. He was in Boston preaching, and there was some park in Boston that you could go, and there was like a podium, and you could stand up and speak, and big crowds would gather. So Finney was preaching, I don't know what time, but he was preaching first, we'll say. And the people were really getting responsive. But then there was in history, I don't remember his name now, he was a well-known, they called Universalist. Now, Universalist back then was the major heresy. It's like in John's day, the Apostle John, the heresy was the Gnostics. Well, in Finney's day, it was the Universalist, and that meant that everybody was going to get saved. There was no such thing as hell, and everybody would get saved. So Finney was preaching the gospel, and this guy, when Finney's finished, would get up, and he'd preach, Universalism. And the people were really confused, because Finney sounded good, and they were going to receive Christ, but then they'd listen to this other guy, and he had them all confused. But anyways, Finney was praying, and he was really upset what this Universalist was doing. So he asked the Lord, please, stop this, because people are getting confused. They're not coming to Christ. And the guy was up there speaking and killed over dead. It's amazing. Yeah. Rolled right off the pulpit, or whatever you want to call it, stage. And he said there was no more problem. Finney said there was no more problem with unbelief after that. They had a great move of the Lord. And Finney preached in this one church, and there was a lot of like lumberjacks there, big powerful men, especially back those days, and no machines. It was all hand labor. So a woman got saved under Finney's preaching, and she went home and told her husband, and he was enraged, absolutely enraged. So he brought a big knife with him. The next day, he went with her to the revival, and he was going to kill Finney. So he sat in the front row, and several times he tried to get up, and he couldn't move off the chair. He was locked onto the chair, could not move. The Lord physically arrested him there in the chair. So the preaching was over, and Finney left. When Finney left, the guy could break free now. The Lord let him go. So there was some hotel Finney was staying at, and about midnight, he hears this knock on the door, and it was this woman whose husband was trying to kill Finney. And she said, please come minister to my husband. Please, please. Yeah. So Finney's a man of God. And he said he would. And he followed her to the house. And he said a long distance from the house, he could hear these roars and screams. And he said he went into the house, and there's the guy laying on the floor in this huge puddle of sweat, huge. And he was screaming out that he was falling into hell and he couldn't get out. Please. So Finney led him to the Lord, and he was like a little baby after that. So the reason it's so important, what Finney said, if this guy was under conviction, what is hell like? You could hear him roaring a great distance from the house, screaming in agony. All because he was felt the pangs of hell, folks. That's what Finney said. If this was conviction, what is hell like? So Finney went all around the North. I don't recall him going to the South. It may be, but he, whatever time, it was mostly in the North. And then the Lord had him start a college in Ohio, Oberlin College, which was the first college in America. I want to be careful on this. It was the first college, I believe, that allowed females in it. I'm not sure now. But anyways, it was the first college that allowed blacks and black females. Finney was an abolitionist, although he didn't really preach abolition from the pulpit. He did everything to support it and to promote it. And his church was absolutely filled with abolitionists. So he started Oberlin College, and there was all sorts of trouble, racial trouble there, by him starting it and making it integration. But it worked, and it was, and he was very happy. Now, what happened was, at some point, and I don't know when, Oberlin College is super, I mean, disgustingly woke now. Disgusting. And they had a theological seminary there, which is from hell. And a couple of years ago now, who knows, maybe 10 years ago, they moved it, that seminary, from Oberlin to some other college. I have no idea what it was. But Oberlin College now is as apostate as you could possibly be. Wicked, folks. Absolutely wicked. But with Finney, started it, it was wonderful. So his main church was, his church was in New York City, and he would travel from New York to Ohio back in the day, and he would teach and preach in Oberlin and come back to New York. And Jeremiah Lampier came to Christ under Finney. And then lo and behold, in 1857, that revivalist spirit jumped from Finney to Jeremiah Lampier. And he was the one that the Lord used to start the Third Great Awakening, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit of 1857. So there's a lot more about Finney, but those great revivals, all sin would disappear. That's how powerful it was, the Finney. Amazing book. Finney lived to be in the 1870s, and he did overlap a little bit with D.L. Moody, but I never heard any connection with Moody and Finney. They just were on different tracks, and I thought it might be interesting if they met and maybe worked together a little in the Lord's work. But I, as far as I could tell, there was no contact between Moody and Finney. But he got very weak at the end, and he used to get up on Sunday. Basically, he was in bed all week. On Sunday mornings, he would get up, and he would go to the chapel there at the college, and he preached and then go back to bed. So one morning he got up and he preached and went back to bed, and soon after that he passed away. So that's the background on Charles Grandison Finney. Incredible revivalist is the best. He was more than an evangelist, let's put it that way. He would just sweep, the Lord would use him to sweep towns, cities, and counties, sweep sin right out of it. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Incredible, incredible man. What an anointing on him. So when he said he had that personal encounter with Jesus Christ, I have no doubt he did. No one, with the power that he had from the Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that he had this It's personal encounter with the Lord. In fact, the encounter was so strong with the Lord that Finney lost time. He didn't, I don't know what he lost, 2 or 3 days. He wasn't eating, or he was on his knees praying and all of this. And he worked in a law firm. And someone, he hadn't been there for a couple of days. So someone went to where he lived and banged on the door and all. And there was Finney. I think he was laying on the ground crying out to the Lord. He got up. That's how he got back to work. He worked for a while, and then he went as an attorney. Then he went right into evangelism. But he was for a couple days, like in suspended animation. I guess would be the best way to explain it. Someone from his law firm came and knocked on the door and kind of brought him out of it. But whatever he said about his encounter with the Lord, I believe it, based on the fruit that came from his ministry. So with that, I'll see what the time is. I think we can get Jeremiah Lampier. But since I'm switching gears here, Sister Sharon, any questions or comments about Charles Finney?
No, I have no questions and I have no comments. It's just a very interesting person. And it just seemed like he kind of would go out and preach and then go hide in the background.
Yeah, he wasn't like Billy Sunday was an extrovert in all of this, and so was D.L. Moody.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. You're right. Finney was more of an introvert there. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. He would go and preach and then disappear, and he would come in a month later. He'd be at some other location, and then I think you're right. Yeah.
Right. And now what you were on top of this with him being more of an introvert, and he went and he preached in all those big churches in New York and stuff. And if I got everything correct, and that is just amazing that he was able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why, but he stopped. I think after Father Nash died, he couldn't find someone like Father Nash. So probably Nash died, I'm looking at this, in 1831. So probably around 1833-34, and around there, Finney stopped and he became a pastor of a rather large church in Manhattan, New York. And he used to travel from New York to Oberlin, Ohio. And he would work in the, he would teach at Oberlin and then come back to New York. So to me, that's a monstrous trip in 1835 from New York, Manhattan, New York to Oberlin, Ohio.
Right. Wow. And they only used, of course, horses and buggies back then.
I don't know if the trains were just coming really online then, so I don't know if there was any trains to take, but yeah, that was a tough ride, no matter how you look at it, from New York to Oberlin, Ohio. All right, Sister Sharon. Sister Kathy.
Okay.
Yeah, so Nash's job was to go ahead of him and do the groundwork, right? And set up the prayer, and for 2 weeks they'd pray. Okay.
Now, what would happen is Father Nash would recruit people when he went there. So it wasn't just himself. But let's say he was in, he was going to preach in Statesboro, Georgia.
Yeah.
Father Nash would do like a Jericho march around the whole city. And he'd be praying, you know. And sometimes he'd stop and he'd be praying for an hour or two in one location. Then he'd get on the horse and then he'd be praying. It was always praying, always. But he'd ride a mile and stop and pray again. And he would run and do as best he could, was be like a circle all around Statesboro. And then in his spirit, I don't know how he knew it other than the Lord dealing with him. He sometimes it was weeks, it'd be a month, whatever it was, Finney would not move until Father Nash would send him a letter. And his expression was, "The heavens are softened, come."
Yeah, I can see how that would leave a hole in the whole system if he left.
Yeah, oh yeah. And then Father Nash was seldom with Finney preaching. He would be at someone's home, like a pastor's home, and they would have 5, 10, 15 people there, and they would be praying for Finney when he was preaching. So behind the scenes, that was the power of Charles Finney.
There you go. The key to his success.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Gigi and Randy, any questions, any comments?
It's that was very good. That's always very encouraging.
Yes, yeah. Randy.
That's really sad the way Oberlin College went.
Oh, my. Oh, it is a sewer. I mean a sewer. It is as bad as corrupt as a university you could possibly have. That's how bad it is.
We've known a couple people that went there in the music program, and they testified how terrible it was.
Yeah, they were Christians, and they went to that school, and it was horrible.
I was there once in the mid-70s. And just driving through it, and you know, I couldn't tell just driving through it, but yeah, that it was a leading Christian school, and I don't know when it turned. I have no idea, but I was there in about 1976, 77. A friend of mine didn't live too far from it, and we went to visit her. He was telling me about Oberlin and Finney and all. So she took us over to the college and took us around, and she was telling us what a hellhole it was now. So that was 1975. It must have been about 20 years or maybe more that finally, mercifully, they took the seminary out of that school, if you call it a seminary. And I don't know where it went. But it certainly, even an apostate seminary doesn't belong in that school, openly.
Right. Yeah.
There was a court case where Oberlin did something, or Oberlin College was responsible for defamation against a restaurant in the city. There's apparently a city near Oberlin. And this made news. I remember it because of being Oberlin. So the person or the business, I think Oberlin was telling all their students and faculty not to go to this restaurant because they were pro-life. And I think they were. Do you remember it? Do you remember that by any chance?
I don't, but that's bad. I just know that these friends of ours that went there, they were studying classical music, and I don't want to say what was going on, but you know, people were hitting on them. It was really bad.
Well, with that school, with the school administration telling the whole school to boycott this restaurant, they sued the school and they won like $4 million. I know it was in the millions. They won like $4 million and Oberlin would not pay it. And the court ordered them to pay it and they still wouldn't pay it. And finally, this went on for the longest time. The court was ordering them to pay it. And finally, the court said that they were going to jail them. They were going to jail the administration there for disobeying the court order. So finally, they paid it. But that's Oberlin College. It's sad to see a man like Finney started it, and look how it ended.
Unfortunately, that's what happens over time. There's been a lot of them like that were founded on as Christian schools. And now they're not. They're anything but.
Well, all of the Ivy League schools were.
Yeah.
When I lived in Pennsylvania, there, Central Pennsylvania, a semi-Ivy League school was Bucknell. And a friend of mine was involved in a Christian ministry at Bucknell. And he showed me, it was John Holman. It was John Holman. That's who it was. And he showed me the charter for Bucknell. It was to advance the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and produce highly educated pastors for the gospel. And oh, it was Bucknell was started as like, you know, the schools back then to promote the gospel. And then it turned into just a liberal, you know, expensive liberal rag, Bucknell. I don't know if you ever heard it or not, but that was a school in north of Harrisburg, Bucknell University.
John?
Yes.
Didn't Bucknell start out as one of the Ivy sister schools, like Radcliffe was the sister school of Harvard, and there was Vassar, and I think Bucknell started out.
It could have.
Female school.
It could have. I don't know the details about it, other than John Holman talking to me about it, how it had fallen from its founding, which was to advance the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to a typical liberal. But it was not Ivy League, but I was on campus a couple. I went there for a great debate between an evolutionist and a creationist at Bucknell. And it was really, in fact, I was embarrassed for the evolutionists. It was so bad for them. That's really the only time I got involved on the campus like that. But it was right off the main road. I mean, you could drive by and see the campus. And it was semi-Ivy League. It wasn't an Ivy League school, but it could have been a satellite or a subsidiary of some Ivy League school. Bucknell. Odd name. Okay.
Well, thank you for teaching this tonight. We both appreciate it.
All right. And then we have Sister Rita.
Yes, Captain John. I had no comments or questions. I enjoyed the teaching, though, so thank you.
Okay. All right. George Gradison, Charles Gradison Finley. Finney, that was his name. Well, that's funny. Back in the day when I was in Pennsylvania, but I would come to Long Island, which was probably about a four-hour drive, I guess. And Pastor Fred worked for the man that invented the MRI. And Fred was like the general manager, I guess you would say, of it. So I would say I did this about six times. So when I would go in there, there was a receptionist. And I said, I'm here to see Fred Beatman. So she'd say, yes, I'll contact him. What's your name? I would say Charles Finney. Or I would say D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, R.A. Torrey. he knew it was me. But yeah, tell him that Charles Finney is out here waiting for him. No one's laughing, so I guess it's not that funny. But to me, Pastor Fred got a kick out of it.
You muted us. We couldn't say anything.
And you're not muted. You're not muted. I didn't touch you.
Oh, I thought I was. Okay, well, anyway, we were laughing.
Oh, good. Now I feel happy. I feel happy. Well,
was smiling.
What would you do if you got a call, Sister Kathy? And hello, this is D.L. Moody.
I'd say, come on, I have been waiting to meet you. Or I'd say, that's Chaplain John.
Yeah. Dwight Lehman Moody, Ruben Arthur Torrey, R.A. Torrey, Ruben Arthur. There was a lot of initials. They went by initials in those days.
Yeah, E.M. Bounds.
Yeah.
I love him.
Well,
I love them all.
I've got the Great Revival of 1857 keyed up, but I don't think I'm going to go into it. I'll use that for next week. And that's what a move of sovereign move of God. That is incredible.
Yeah. It was making lemonade out of lemons for sure.
That revival was so powerful that ships, when they were coming into the New York Harbor, at some point as they were getting close to the harbor, the revival would hit the ship. Mm-hmm. And they had like a whole U.S. warship come to the Lord there. And then they had another, they would have passenger ships come in. And as they hit, I think it was about 20 miles off the coast, there would be revivals breaking out on the ships, like spontaneous. That's how powerful the move was across the United States. The Great Revival of 1857.
If only it could have stopped the Civil War.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
Now, the historians, Sister Kathy, do you know or did I ever tell you about they call it the revival of religion?
I don't think so.
Yeah. It's really sad because a great revival broke out in the Southern Army immediately prior to the Battle of Gettysburg, immediately prior to it. And they continued right to the end of the war. And then when General Lee surrendered his army to General Grant there at Appomattox,
mm-hmm.
Grant told Lee that is, first of all, he fed the army. And, well, I guess I'm in it, so I might as well go deep into it. The Civil War was fought by West Point style, because all the generals in the South and all the generals in the North were trained at West Point. And there was a code of honor. So they would fight ferocious wars, battles. But surrounding it, there was no pillaging and none of that stuff. It's really... I mean, historians are amazed because other civil wars get out of hand and horrific things are revenge and all of this is done. And but the American Civil War was kind of shocking, where Grant told the Southern Army, feed them. Lee asked Grant, his army was starving, do you have any food? And the Northern Army had plenty of food. So they fed the Southern Army. He told the soldiers that they could keep their guns, and the Confederate Army marched home from Virginia. But what they did take with them was the gospel, Sister Kathy.
Yeah.
That's the gospel had really penetrated, especially the Southern Army. And they call it revival of religion, the revival of religions that took place during the Civil War. Now, so the Union had the revival going into the Civil War. And during the Civil War, the big revival hit the Confederate Army just prior to Battle of Gettysburg. And it continued. And then when the soldiers went home, they took the gospel with them. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
It is. And Stonewall Jackson was a real godly man. This is mind-boggling, though, when you look at it, you know. And he started the church he went to in Virginia Military Institute. I can't think of the name of the town. I was in it many times.
Blackville.
No. No. Anyways, he started a Bible teaching for blacks. And from what I understand, the teaching now is not just for blacks, but what he started at that church is still going to this day.
Wow.
Or at least it was kind of years back when I was in touch with him. But he was a real believer, Stonewall Jackson.
There were some very powerful men.
D.L. Moody was a chaplain for the Northern Army.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they called it. Revivals of religion in the during the Civil War, in the two armies.
And E.M. Bounds was in the, he was in Missouri, but they conscripted him and he was, they arrested him because they tried to get the his property, and he was a lawyer and knew their rights and all, and they just put him in the gulag, and it was a mess.
Who was he, for the North or the South?
He was from Missouri, so it was neither one, but he ended up being in both of them. He was, what you call it? You said chaplain, something like that, in both of them. But he was in the, he never fought. He was a chaplain or either a captive, you know, held in the prison.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, the Missouri was a border state.
I know. That's what they weren't in it. You know, they were just supposedly. And it just, it's a sad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
But he ended up in Georgia and lived a very happy life after all of that.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. The great revival. I read some books that he wrote. I guess you call them theological books. They weren't easy to read, I can tell you that. But I read his, I think it was his biography. It was very, very interesting. Extremely interesting.
Yeah.
Finney. Okay, well. If there's no other questions, then I guess we might as well have some prayer and music.
Can I pray first? Because I am
absolutely.
I'm very sleepy, and I may be able to stay awake, but just in case, Lord, I thank you so much for the historical network we have. I thank you so much for the care that was taken for the preserving the history, God, and the memoirs and the journals and the historical facts of the war and the code of ethics and the autobiographies. And just thank you. Thank you for the rich history that we have of that and of the moves of God. It is just powerful, and it is so, we're pulling it out of history and into now and glean what we can, and just thank you. Lord, I want to pray for Bill and Holly. Lord, they had a little upset today physically and missed a meeting that they so wanted to go to and a funeral yesterday. But bless them. I pray for Ashlyn, Lord, whose mother is having fainting, passing out spells. And we pray for her and her grandmother and her two children. And I pray that she will come to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for Mr. Perkins. I pray for Betty and Ricky Reed and Wanda. Just I pray all the people who are sick, Lord, and infirmed. I pray for Sharon And thank you that Gigi and Randy are better. I pray for Paula Jean, Lord, and just everybody that has any kind of medical condition, and especially our brother Henry, Lord. And so far the stone hadn't passed, I don't believe, but Lord, let it just move on out of his kidneys through all those wonderful ways you have of our body cleansing itself. And just thank you. Thank you for the miracle of the human body. It's just phenomenal. It's just awesome. And Lord, the specifics that you have about history itself as well, and how significant moves are repeated and documented in the precious word of God. Lord, I want to pray for the fivefold ministry, their spouses and children, home and foreign missionaries, Christian TV, Christian radio, Bible printing companies, tract printing companies. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, I thank you that Todd had his back surgery, and I pray that it will be successful, and I thank you that today they went out and ministered in the projects, Lord, and six or seven people, children, committed their lives to you, and the parents were listening in the background. And I pray for Debbie and Mike, Lord, who were at the restaurant today that we got to thank for being part of the ministry team that goes out with them. And I pray for Maddox, Todd and Bridget's son, that is going to be going as soon as graduation to the Air Force. And Lord, I just pray for him. And he was going to do mission work, but I just pray that this would be the best thing for him, for his future, and opening doors for free education, Lord, after he serves the time. We do pray for the military. We pray for all EMS. We pray for the fire department. We pray, oh God, for all law enforcement ways. We pray for President Trump, Lord, and J.D. Vance and Johnson, and all of the other people that are responsible for making decisions. I pray in Jesus' name that the financial opportunity for these people to be paid, hired to go out and burn stuff and protest and picket and terrorize things, I pray that it would just be shut down. The door would be shut down for that finance. And we thought all this time George Soros was paying for it, but it was our tax dollars that he was using. At sin, sin, sin. Father, we just pray that they will have to be, you said when somebody steals, you will run them down and they'll have to pay back seven times. I pray that happens. Let it be in their face. And Father, I do pray for the ministry tomorrow, all the churches. I pray there'll be no attacks, no bad weather that would shut things down. And Lord, Palm Sunday, beautiful, beautiful Palm Sunday. Lord, just hosanna to the highest. 1 week before they're crucifying you, Jesus. But that had to happen. So we thank you that there was sense and reason and purpose in everything that happened. And Lord, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you. I thank you for Chaplain John and his busy, busy, busy week. Thank you, God, for the preaching he's done with and Pastor Ernie last night, Lord, and my shalom tomorrow, and Word of Life, and just all the outreaches in Kenya and Pakistan. And Lord, I thank you that they did not arrest Jamil, because that is just very frightening to me, that just down the street there are people being martyred and locked up and just brutalized, and here our Jamil is safe and wonderfully working for the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray for all the other ministries that are part of Chaplain John's, David and Bishop Reinhardt, and we pray for Pastor Dove, Lord, and that he won't have to prop on the podium too much tomorrow, that he'll be really strong and able to survive and endure the service. And we pray for and thank you for Pastor Fred. We pray for Nate and Kate, Lord, and just all the people in his life that are infirmed and under the weather, and himself. He was kind of sick as well with the pollen sinus issue. And I pray that Chaplain John will sleep well tonight, Lord, and thank you for our little Danny boy that is just such a support pet, Lord, and help him to just continue to be a light for Nancy and Chaplain, and bless all of the family of his, and thank you for just all you've done, all you're doing, and all you have planned for us, everybody in the chat room, Lord. I don't know. I don't have it turned on. I'm just really sleepy and ready for bed, but thank you, God, for them holding up the banner there and agreeing in prayer. And I know Paula Jean said she wasn't going to pray tonight. She was just on the listening mode, but she was agreeing in prayer in the background there on Rumble. So, and Desmond and all the people, Lord, that are part of the ministry that just are so tirelessly and committed to this fellowship, and just thank you so much. There's so many other things to pray, and I know I've forgotten 100 things, but Lord, just thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you, praise you, and honor you in spirit and in truth, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Kathy.
Yes, sir.
And then we have Sharon here. If you'd lead us in prayer. If anybody wants to pray, call 717-409-5553.
Okay. Yes, dear Father God, I just too like to thank you for Abba Father International Prayer Fellowship. It is a wonderful, wonderful group that we are all in. And we love to pray, and we love to hear prayer, and we love to just pray for other people's needs and pain for their spouses and anything that anybody needs, we like to pray for. And we just thank you that we can do that. We can sit and just open our mouths and pray to you, dear Father God. And one of the most important things that we pray about is salvation. We want our friends, our family, and anybody that we can think of to be saved. We want people to know that they will be going to heaven when we pass from this earth. And I just thank you, dear Father, that we can pray for each other for this. And I'm just so, so grateful for Abba Father International and all the places that Chaplain John preaches and teaches. It's just wonderful. We can go on different sites all on this internet and find him all around the world, Pakistan, India, and just Uganda, all over the world. And the people over there are ready to translate what Chaplain John has to say so their people can understand it. It's like getting the brochures printed in people's native languages. That is just so important that people have that to read too. And I just thank you, dear Father God, for everybody who's taking part of this, you know, getting these brochures out to people and even laying them around where people can see them and pick one up and start reading it. It's just so, so important. And I'd like to thank you, dear Father God, for everybody who's a part of this team. It is a powerful team, and we are all just so delighted to be part of it and to hear from our our membership and stuff. And I just want to pray for others. Seems like there's an awful lot of cancer cropping up, dear Father God. And we just need to pray against that and pray for people's to return to being well and stuff. And there's a lot of broken bones again, too. And so, dear Father, I just want to pray for people's safety. I want to pray for people to have a good, clean water, have shelter and food and stuff. And these things are very, very necessary for our survival. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that all the food lines are starting up where people can drive up in their cars and get boxes full of food to take home. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have happen. And dear Father, I just again want to pray for all the pastors in Abba Fathers. I'm praying for Pastor Dove that he continues to get well and recover from his surgery. And for everybody, continued prayer for Nancy, and praying for Greg Patterson's wife, and just all sorts of different people that are out there that do need our continued prayers. And I just thank you that I am able to open my mouth and pray. I love to pray to you, dear Father God. You are our one and only true Savior, and I just love being in this group to who believe in you. And in your name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's see who's next here. That should be, I don't think Gigi and Randy has prayed. Yeah, I have them muted. Gigi?
Oh, yeah. We haven't prayed.
Okay.
So I always like to ask you, Kathy. Kathy, she covered it all, which is great. And then Sharon did too. I wanted to ask you what you want me to pray for.
Tomorrow morning, preaching in Kenya and then here in Harrisburg.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? I don't think I got the second part.
I'm preaching in Pakistan. When I finish there, I leave and I go to church here, Word of Life. And then I'm preaching there.
Okay. All right. Is this the regular preaching that you're going to be doing in Kenya?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be doing this on I'm not every Sunday, but several times a month.
Okay. All right. I will do so. Lord Jesus, we are looking forward during this time of the year where we remember about your death and resurrection. We thank you that the Passover story is so clear and so wonderful and really fills us in for why you had Israel to continue to do this forever. We thank you so much that you are our Passover lamb, and that with you there is nothing that is impossible. And we are praying specifically that we would every day, but especially now when people are open, that we could bring you glory and share the gospel with people. I know that people seem not as close anymore. People seem to be more willing to talk about these kinds of things. So we thank you for that open door, and we pray that people's hearts will be changed and drawn to you, and that they would be saved during this time. And we pray that here, but I also want to pray that for my friends in the UK. Things that are happening there I heard that Roy was back in the UK for some reason. So we want to lift up our friends that are there. Things are really serious, very serious. And they're really locking down on free speech in a very odd way, in a place that has a history that shouldn't be allowing this. So we pray mercy on our friends there. And we pray that there would be an outpouring there, so the tide would turn away from, I don't even know what to call it. It's worse than communism in a sense, because they're promoting one alleged religious view against everything else, which is terrible. So it's some kind of really evil spirit that's going on in those countries. So we pray for mercy for the Christians that are there. And we pray that this would be an outpouring, a chance for an outpouring where people would wake up. They would wake up, Lord. So we want to thank you and praise you for Pastor Demille and for this meeting, and that he didn't get arrested. And we thank you that the meeting could go on. We thank you for the people that were churchgoers who came to the real saving knowledge of you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that there would be great rejoicing over the next couple of weeks, and people that would be reaching out to those around them, so that all of those pamphlets, they would produce a great harvest, Lord. And we continue to pray for Pastor Demille and all the other workers there and the churches there. We pray for their protection. And we want to lift up Pastor Zephaniah to you and the church there. Thank you that they are encouraged. Thank you they are not discouraged. It could have been a big discouragement what happened before, but you have given them the ability to rise up, basically almost out of the ashes. So we thank you for their faith and for their fortitude, which can only come from you. And so we just want to pray a huge blessing on all of them and give very, very direct guidance to Pastor Zephaniah and help him. He's the leader, and he has so many people that he's in contact with. We thank you so much that things have turned for their benefit. And we thank you that the people are being encouraged. We pray over John and over the transmission of his teaching, and that everything would go perfectly, no interruptions. There would be great sound, great video, and that everything will go perfectly. And I pray for an outpouring coming from John to them, and that there would be more and more people saved in that area, and that the people would be able to go out and share the gospel. And we continue to pray for Evangelist John. Thank you for that miracle saving his life, and that he is going out again. So we pray that you protect him wherever he goes, and that there would be a great harvest. Watch over his family. Protect them, Lord. Provide for all of them. And we thank you for this privilege to be able to pray about all these things that are going on and the miracles, the miraculous things that have happened. I don't think John, and certainly not us, would have even thought about these things happening when John was sending Bibles over there,
right,
even before he was preaching, and sending the water filtration systems over there. Randy and I were talking about that the other day. I mean, what a miracle to go from those things to what's happening now. And so, Lord, we thank you that John has been faithful all of these years. to do whatever you told him to do. That's pretty clear. And so we pray that you would continue to lead and guide him and anoint him. And that we want to also pray for this fellowship tomorrow. And that, John, you would anoint John to speak what is on your heart to these people. And it would be a great encouragement. And it would also help to spread the gospel in the area that they live in and the people they have contact with. And so we want to thank you and praise you in advance for everything that you're doing. And we just bless your holy name. And I want to pray a blessing over everyone who is on the line and watching, that you will provide for everyone, that you will keep everyone well and everyone safe, and that you would give guidance to every single one of us that need it. I think we need it all the time. So I'm praying for guidance all the time, Lord, and we would humble ourselves to listen. And so I just want to thank you for this fellowship and the many prayers. And I just praise you and I thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. All right. And Sister Sharon, you've prayed. Sister Kathy is gone. And Rita, that leaves just you, Sister Rita.
Yes, leaves me to pray. Okay, I'll be glad to, Chaplain John. Father, I thank you for the day you've given to me, for the house that I have to live in, Father, and the food and the water and the clothing. And Father, you are worthy to be praised, for you sent your love to die for us when we did not deserve your love. And I give you thanks, Father, that you sent your Son to give us life and that we may have it more abundantly, Father. Thank you. Father, I pray for America. I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America. I pray that you be merciful unto us, Father. Heal our country and forgive us. And I also pray for Israel, Father. I pray for peace for Israel. And I pray that I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. And I pray that the Jews in Israel would turn to your Son and that they would love you and your Son with all their whole heart, soul, and mind. And I pray for the IDF, Father. I pray for these young men and women that are risking their lives for their country. I pray that they come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father, before it's too late. And I pray also, Father, for Prime Minister Netanyahu and his wife. I pray that you would bless their marriage and that you would protect Prime Minister Netanyahu from any harm that somebody would want to do to him, Father. Guide and direct Netanyahu in the direction that you want him to take Israel, and strengthen him and encourage him, Father. And I pray for Chaplain John, that you would strengthen and encourage him, Father, and that you would guide and direct him in all that he says and all that he says and writes, that many people will come to the saving knowledge of your Son and many hearts would be healed. And when he's Sunday, he's going to be speaking. I pray, Father, that you would anoint his words on the people that would be hearing him, and that they will, that you would soften their hearts, and their hearts will open up to you and your Son, and that many will come to the saving knowledge of you, and many hearts will be healed. And Father, I pray for President Trump protect President Trump, father, and his family. I ask that you would bless President Trump's marriage, and that you will strengthen him and encourage him physically, Father, and spiritually. Encourage him and comfort him, Father. And that I pray that President Trump would find his strength in you and your son. And I pray for J.D. Vance and his wife. I pray for that they will come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. And I pray that you would bless their marriage, and that you would protect them from the evil men and women that will be coming against them, Father. And I also pray for Elon Musk and his 14 children, Father. And I pray and ask, Father, that he will come to the saving knowledge of your son, and that he would love you and your son with all his whole heart, soul, and mind. And Father, I pray, I don't know if Elon Musk is married now or what his situation is, Father, but I ask you that you put that if there is a relationship he has, that you would bless it, and that you would put somebody in his life, Father, a woman in his life that would help him. And Father, I pray for Jack, Susie's second cousin, that is in prison since 1970, Father. I pray that he will come to know your son as his Lord and Savior of his life, and that you will soften his heart to the message that he would hear from somebody witnessing about you to him. And I think, Father, Susie's other cousin is going to go to prison. It's going to go to the prison and talk to him about that book that Chaplain John has written. And I pray that you anoint that book, and that Jack would get anointed from hearing his cousin talk about that book. Soften his heart and open up his eyes, Father, that he may see what the wages of sin is, and that he will come, Father, to know your son as the Savior. You have said, Father, that you have come to set the captives free. And I pray this for Jack, that you have set him free, Father, and that he may have life, and that he may have it more abundantly. And I pray, Father, for Pastor Fred, that you would bless him and his church, encourage him and comfort him, Father. And Father, I pray for everyone that is online tonight in the Uber, in X, YouTube, and Rumble, that you bless us, Father, and comfort us and encourage us, Father. For I pray this all, Father, in the name of my Lord, my Savior, and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to close down because, like Sister Kathy, I'm getting very, very, very tired. But I think we had a nice night. And I have the clock over here to my left. And if Brother Charles is tomorrow, I'll show it during the show tomorrow. And
okay.
All right. So God bless everybody. And remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless Amen. You now. Amen. And hopefully we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame.
Send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift